Blog Talk Radio.
Tasha Parker Meredith and Derek Scales Shelton. I'm Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith, and I want to welcome you. We are, we've got a quick show that we're going to do today. We want to give our listeners and callers an opportunity to call in, state what you feel, and tell us about your thoughts on the election. And we only got about a half hour, 30, 40 minutes today, so it won't be a long show, but we wanted to come on the air nonetheless. I want to start the show off. I just did a post on my Facebook page probably about 30 minutes ago, and I want to start off the show by congratulating President-elect Donald Trump. I never thought I'd be saying this on November 9th, 2016, but I want to congratulate Donald Trump and all of the Trump supporters nonetheless. Listen, what I said on my Facebook page is that, you know, in reading the scriptures, Romans 13:3 says that God is the ultimate appointing authority, and we must respect the authorities of the land. So this is an opportunity for us as believers to exercise what we believe in, to practice faith, and to begin the healing process and to bridge gaps between across the aisles, if you will, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, and all the differences that we have. I am praying that Donald Trump holds true to all of the things that he promised during his campaign time, and we shall see what is coming forth in the next couple of months and in the next 4 years. With that being said, I want to bring on my co-host, Derek. How you doing today, Derek?
Well, Tasha, to be expected, a little somber right now, but at the same time, you know, diddling a lot of what you said and consent with just saying as far as maybe, you know, it's always in the God's plan for things to be what he allows them to be. And, you know, in hindsight, it may be just a thing that it's an omen in disguise as far as what's really going to take place, as far as it being the outcome of what it would have been the opposite. I mean, you know, there would have been a bunch of turmoil that ensued behind his supporters, and I think after hearing his speech on accepting the presidency, he sounded he had a different tone, you know. I mean, and maybe this is the thing that we had spoke about a few segments about what the whole deal was, and maybe there was a ploy for him to come off a certain way and be a certain way, because, you know, he's not really what you consider your typical Republican, and maybe this is something that we all needed to shake the world up, to realize that there are some really racist, ignorant people out there that people were in denial of and saying that there wasn't. And who knows, this may be a better case scenario than we ever would have thought. You never know.
Absolutely. You know, I did not listen to his acceptance speech last night, or his whatever they call it when he wins. I think it's – I'm not sure if it's called an acceptance speech, but I did not listen to that last night or this morning. Honestly, I got tired, and I finally went to bed after a little while. But so what exactly did he say? Kind of summarize it for me, Derek.
Well, it was like a whole different tone. It was like it wasn't even the real or the same Donald Trump that we had been hearing in the past months, you know, up to this point. He said basically that, you know, Hillary Clinton had called him and conceded and congratulated him, and he accepted that and praised her as being a you know, it was like a whole different ball of wax. It's like a flip side of a album, if you can the analogy on that. But he pretty much expressed that he wants everyone to know that he was going to be the president that's going to make sure that everyone is going to be accounted for, is getting what they need in this world and or in this country, and he's not going to leave anybody out as far as you know, what he's going to do as far as his presidency and his jurisdiction to do the best for every American. And if that he stands for that, then I you know, I applaud him on that. And of course, you know, it takes something like this to turn things in a way that they probably were meant to be in the beginning, in a kind of in a quirky way, so to speak. But he pretty much can let everybody know that hey, you know, work with me. I'm going to be that president that's going to bridge the gap and bring everybody together as a nation. And it was like, you know, a sigh of relief seemingly on his behalf, that now that he's president, he could probably really do some good and some justice to everybody. And hopefully that's what he does. And hopefully it sticks to that. And that we will all, as you said earlier, that we should all come together, and this is going to be the awakening call, you know, that we need to realize that, yeah, we know that this is this and this is that, as far as people feeling the way they do racially, the racial divide and that kind of thing. And, you know, now at least we can kind of look at it as something that we can grow and make a better way for everybody now that we know what's at hand, you know, and we have the president and we have to support him. You know, we have no choice. We really don't.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. You make such great points there, Derek. You know, I want to just remind our listeners that Donald Trump never considered himself a Republican in the past before this election cycle. Donald Trump, I believe, was always considered himself an independent and sided. He had more leftist views. And if you remember a couple of years ago when the Tea Party became really, vocal, he was more of a Tea Party movement type person. And he, you know, I recall that video that he had saying, if I ever run for president, I'll run as a Republican because they're so stupid. Do you remember that commercial where, you know, they posted that? And, you know, it's almost like he outsmarted the right wings, if you will, by coming in. And basically he just came in and took over their party. It's so crazy. As I was getting prepared for the show, I was going to ask you, Derek, I was thinking, what do you think? Can you imagine what Tim Cruz is thinking and feeling today?
Yeah, what a lot of Republicans are feeling and thinking today. They're like, okay, we're basically stuck with this guy, and we're going to have to try to work with him. And, you know, he is representing our party, and, you know, whatever we said in the past about this and that and the other is kind of like water under the bridge now, because now it's a new day. It's a, you know, starting day one today, and realizing that now we have Donald Trump in office, we're going to have to manipulate a situation that's going to work for everybody. You know, I mean, it's almost like he forced their hand. And I'm thinking, like I said, I mentioned it a while back. You remember in one of our segments that, you know, this might be the thing that Donald really manipulated to get in there and really mm-hmm. do some good in kind of like a reverse psychology kind of a state, which I'm hoping, you know, because I get a sense that Donald Trump is really not a bad guy. I mean, there's really some things that come out and being that he really does want to make this a better world for everybody, that he really does want to help the black community, like he said, and that. But we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see if this is going to be the turning point of him really becoming the presidential person that he can be or will be, and hope that he said he's going to be. And we just have to pray. We have to join hands more so now than ever to make it a better way. Mm-hmm. And now at least we know, people have outed themselves as being the ignorant and the racist individuals they are, that we now know who we should stand clear of. And it's opened our eyes up to that ignorance and letting it be known, because, like I said, there's people that were so much in denial that, people always want to say it's racist, black folks always want to call this and that and that, but it's not. But now we see. It's been a thing that's been open for all eyes to see of where we really are, even in 2016. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a better case scenario for all accounts, just by the way it's taken place, and I think that's an act of God. I really do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one thing Donald Trump is not, Derek, is stupid. He's not a stupid man. I think some people, including myself, have had better choice words for him as far as trying not to use the word stupid. But he's really, when you think of it, he's an opportunist. He is an opportunist. And now, again, I didn't hear what he said last night as far as when it came out after he won or the announcement had been made, but what I will commend him on doing is in the latter part of his campaign efforts, he fired some people and brought people on. And one of the individuals he brought on was a lady. I cannot recall her name at the moment, but I believe she became his campaign manager, and his tone changed significantly after she came on board. And I think it's because he also got a better speech writer, and he became coachable, if you will. And it wasn't really until November 7th, the day before the election, that he revisited all of the negativity that he had started out with in the beginning of the campaign. So if you look at kind of his strategy, he started out appealing, if you will, to the blue-collar worker and appealing to those individuals who, you know, the working average person, if you will, the average Joe, and, you know, a lot of people, as you said, their racist views and tones came out. And then towards the kind of, I guess, the latter part of his election, he swayed away, I think, in an attempt to grab more people on the left side, if you will. I think probably the Bernie Sanders supporters. You know, he kind of swayed away from the far right, came towards the middle, and, you know, you've got to give him credit for what he did. Nobody can discount the fact that he did what he said he was going to do. I remember when he was on, it was one of the debates or one of the talk shows, I can't remember, and he said, you know, my wife told me, if you run, you're going to win because you always win. And He did exactly what he said he was going to do. So you cannot, you know, as much as people dislike Donald Trump, you've got to give the man credit in that respect, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about it, there are far worse people that could have been in there of the Republican people that were in there in the primary. But, I mean, I'm thinking with Donald Trump, his ego is going to come into effect being a positive in this case, because he's going to want to be known as the guy that came in there that tied the knot and brought people together and changed this, made things better. He's going to, you know, his legacy is going to be based on his ego and his narcissistic ideas as far as that's concerned. And, you know, he, you know, that may just work in the favor of the concern of all people. You know, I'm thinking that in many instances with him being elected to office, a lot of people started to think about it and say, well, you know, if this guy is really the guy who says this and that, and in many instances, you know, maybe in a better way in hindsight or in a disguise, then, you know, maybe I might just go in here and vote for him undercover, you know. And I think that's what a lot and it comes to find out, there was, you know, a lot of black people that went in there and voted for him, you know, and thinking. I think so, yeah, because the final thing was like there was 8% black, where there was, you know, during the polls it was like 1%, but at the outcome it says there was an 8% black vote for him, which was, you know, like 7 points higher than they actually were thinking, you know. So and then I think that entails with him coming out and saying that, look, you know, we're going to help the black community, we're going to try to do things. And there's a lot of people that took that to heart, and I don't mind the fact, because they say, well, you know, who doesn't want their community, and who don't realize that there are some problems in the black community that we need helping with and that we need to be changed, and why not, you know? So I think that entailed a lot of them. Then there were those who didn't vote, who went all out to get Obama in, but didn't even go to the polls this time. So it was kind of like a double-edged sword on that, because we figured, like, okay, you know, why even waste our time to go do it if we don't even, you know, it's not going to make much difference, you know. So there's a whole lot entailed and a conglomerate of things that came together to make the result the way it is. And hopefully it's the best. You just have to pray that Donald Trump will be the kind of guy that says, okay, now I'm the head man in charge. I can do in my power to do the best for it. As if he says, like he said he was going to do, help everybody, every American will benefit from him being the president. So we'll see. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I posted last week or early this week, maybe this weekend leading up to the elections, is, you know, I asked people, what will you do on the morning of November 9th? What is your plan? What will you do if Clinton wins? What will you do if Trump wins? Because really, when you think about it, and my mother always taught us this, that you are his future, and the outcome should not determine what you do when you wake up on November 9th. Does that make sense? You should always have a plan, no matter who's in office. And one of the things that I learned very, very early on serving in the military is you may not like your commander-in-chief. You may not like whoever is in office, but you have got to learn to navigate according to whomever is in office, because you have to respect that person, that leader. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for those of us who voted, myself, for those of you who don't know, I voted for Hillary Clinton. I did not encourage people one way or the other on my Facebook or social media pages on where to vote, because I think what we should encourage people to do is vote so that our democracy can work. And that is what I encouraged people to do. But having said that, I think this is an opportunity. When you think back to 2007, going into 2008, when this day we were talking about the first, having elected the first African-American president, the first black president, President Barack Obama. When you think about how drastic of a change that was for individuals who did not support President Obama, this, in this moment today, is the perfect opportunity for us to put ourselves in the shoes of individuals and how they felt 8 years ago. You know what I mean? Because it gives us the opportunity to actually feel what they felt. And the bottom line is, it's, again, an opportunity to come together and make this world a better place, regardless of whether you support Donald Trump or you supported Hillary Clinton. What are you going to do now, individually and collectively? Because the bottom line is, Donald Trump can only do so much for the black community. Donald Trump can only do so much for the LGBT community. As we saw with President Obama, they are limited in what they can do, because it's really in who we vote for and who we put in the Senate and who we put in the House of Representatives, the Congress. You know what I mean? They're the ones who recommend the legislation and pass the legislation and send it up. So, you know, what are you doing locally in your community? What are you doing to change the laws? What are you doing to make sure the hungry are fed? You know, we have to step back, going back to what I was saying about my mother. We have to be individually responsible and accountable, because the buck stops here. It starts with us.
Oh, absolutely, Tasha. You hit it on the head in many instances. I feel too, just like, you know, with what you're saying as far as, you know, getting the coin on the other side as to how those people felt about when Obama was elected, whether it was just for the fact that he was black and they were racist and didn't want to see a black man ever in office, or whether they thought maybe he wasn't going to be the president, or whatever the case may have been. There are those people that felt like, oh my gosh, I can't take it. Obama's in office. But now we see that there are those who are going to say the same thing as far as, well, here we go with Trump. I really believe that many people didn't, because she was a woman, that, you know, because they were racist against her, or not, but prejudiced the fact that she was a woman, and regardless of whether she was qualified or not, they didn't want her in there, just like they didn't want Obama in there, regardless of what his qualifications were as a black man. And here, I think a lot of people who went in there said, okay, here's my payback for Obama. Boom, Trump. You know, and that's those ignorant racist people that probably did that on the most part. But then again, there were probably a different motives. You know, like I say, the blacks, they voted for him. They had their motives. You know, the it just makes a difference as to what each individual went in there, his mindset was. But I truly believe there was a high percentage of whites who went in there and voted for Trump because, first of all, the rhetoric was based on a lot of racial boundaries and that kind of thing, but to get even for us having a black man. I hate to say it that way, but, you know, I'm kind of one that kind of thinks in terms of what put nothing past what people think anyway nowadays, and especially since we've seen what transpired as all these ignorant people that came out. And see, now it's a thing where with Donald in there, he's like, all right, got y'all. Y'all got me in office now. Y'all going to hate me, but oh well, what you going to do about it? I'm going to do right for everybody, because there are those people out there when he was doing those speeches talking about what he wants to do with the black community. They were saying under their tongue, oh, screw them. But, you know, they wanted him in there for their purposes to do, you know, just like the KKK and some of the racist groups that were backing him. But now it's his turn to really show that, yeah, well, y'all got me in here for the wrong reason. I'm going to be for everybody. And that's exactly what he was saying in his speech last night.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I will, when I have an opportunity later today after class, I will absolutely take some time to listen to his speech. I'm sure I can find it on the internet, and I'm gonna take some time to listen to that, and we'll further, you know, dialogue and dissect his speech and the Clinton speech next week. But, you know, one of the things that came to mind when you were just talking, Derek, is a lot of people have made this about race. And sorry, my dogs. I'm here at home, and Zeus decided to bark. But a lot of people. A lot of people have made this about race, but I would argue that it's more about class. It's more about class. And when you think about the people, well, I think it's a combination of class and race. Let me just say that. But when you think about it, a lot of people have, when Donald Trump first came out, he appealed again to that blue collar worker, and he appealed to the worker, the people who are steel workers and the hard hats, if you will. And when you think about it, Donald Trump's philosophies are so far opposite of that group of people that it's interesting to me that psychologically this particular group of people would think that he would create policies that would improve their livelihood. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to do that. I don't know what he's going to do. But I think, you know, we should pause and take some time to look at the class aspect of it in addition to the racial aspect.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. There's just so many innuendos here that we can take a look at and we can second guess on a lot of things and interpret things in a certain way. But bottom line, he is our president to be. You know, he's going to be our president. And whether we like it or not, whether we're feeling one way or another about it, in many instances, we just have to accept it. And I think the whole scheme of things right now seem to be that, okay, here we are. We just have to make the best of it. We have to allow the process to be just as we had in all the other presidents we have. I mean, how many times have we had presidents that we totally disagreed with and didn't want, in many instances, depending on what side you're on, and had no choice but to go through that presidency. And we have to do it in the best way possible, in the best way I feel that people will think of it in terms of, is try to make it as peaceful and as organized in a way that it's not going to cause havoc to the whole population. You know, I mean, there are those mm-hmm. going to be disgruntled and be in denial of him ever being their president. And there's going to be a lot of stuff going on social media. We're back and forth. But I think it would have been a worst case scenario had he not won, because of the fact that we would have had all those crazy people that did vote for him for the wrong reasons out there possibly causing havoc and all kind of stuff. You know, you're talking about revolution and that kind of stuff. So now those people can go back into the under the rocks they came out of, you know, and then mm-hmm. let it be the thing that we can go ahead and adjust to and accept. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's just so interesting you say that, because I remember, I think it was last week or a couple shows ago that we did, someone had actually made a comment saying that there was going to be like a race war if Donald Trump did not win. So, you know, I believe that all things are working together for our good. And I believe that in the end, this is going to, everything is going to be just fine. You know, everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people woke up sad today. A lot of people are, somber, as you kind of said in the beginning. And I think that it's okay. And I want to let people know that it's okay to feel that way. But don't stay there. Don't stay there, because the bottom line is it's a part of the process. The election of a new president is a part of the process. It's a part of our democracy. And regardless of what people feel about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, President Obama, America is still the greatest nation in the world. It's the best place to live, in my opinion. I would rather live in no other place than here in America.
Absolutely, absolutely, no doubt. You know, this is the place of all places, and I feel so fortunate to be born as an American and in the United States. And you're right, there's no other place I'd rather be, you know, and we mm-hmm. just have to make the best of what it is, regardless of the situation, and, you know, and pray and just have the heart of knowing that there's a better way for everybody, you know, and not let the divisiveness be a part of our lives, you know. I mean, reach mm-hmm. out to whoever you can and make it a better way. And, you know, with the humanitarian backgrounds that you and I share, we already mm-hmm. know. It's just a matter of us passing it on and letting it know that, that's the only way we can be. We can't be any other way. We can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think that, interestingly, this election and the results of this election with Donald Trump winning, I believe it's going to motivate the millennial generation and those younger. And I think this election, what has happened, the results of this election is going to motivate not just the millennials, but more people to get involved in politics, to get involved in their communities. You know, our daughter Karma called Elle last night when it was looking like Donald Trump was going to win, and she was just distraught. And she's 14. So can you imagine by the time she's, she'll be 18 in the next election. And so, you know, things are going to be quite different. I believe the turnout is going to be very different this time 4 years from now, because I believe more people will have been motivated, will have been charged to get involved, and I believe we're going to see something very different 4 years from now. But in the meantime, we've got to do our part to making this world a better place for everybody. And again, it starts with us. And with that being said, Derek, I'm sorry, but I got to wrap the show up early today because I have to get to class. I just wanted to come on and talk a little bit about the election. And what do you want to talk about next week, Derek? I think there's going to be plenty of election stuff to talk about.
Yeah, you know, it's always never an issue on what we could come up to talk about, Tasha. So I think what we can do is just kind of play it by ear between now and then, and let's go for it then, you know what I mean? They'll talk about something, that's for sure. And there'll be something to talk about.
There is always something to talk about. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting kind of how things go and how social media, how this plays out on social media. I'm not a follower of Donald Trump on Twitter, but it'll be interesting to see what his tweets start looking like now, because the reality is, and I'm going to say this before we close, when you think about it, he's getting ready to receive above top secret security briefings. Now he is really going to see what is truly going on around the world, because he got a glimpse of it as a nominee. But now that he has been elected president, and I can almost guarantee you his tone is going to change when he finds out what's really going on with Russia, when he finds out what's really going on with China, when he finds out that he really cannot build that wall in Mexico. And speaking, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, that it was interesting how he kind of snuck in there. And there's going to be some people on the right that are going to be very upset with him, because he's not, in my opinion, he's not going to be able to deliver on those far right reaching promises, such as building a wall with Mexico. I personally don't believe that that is going to happen. I was texting with my mom last night as it was looking like Donald Trump was going to win. And the market, I don't know if you saw how the market was just tanking last night. It, at one point it was down, the Dow futures were down 799 points for fear that Donald Trump was going to get in. Well, guess what? I'm happy to report, if my mom is listening, the market, the futures are up by 142 points now. And my mom said last night, don't worry, relax, it's going to be okay. And she was so right. And, you know, my point in saying that is life goes on. The market will survive. We will survive. We will be just fine. It's what we do in this moment that's going to determine how the next 4 years of our lives go, because we are what ultimately responsible. And on that note, I'm going to let you have the last word, Derek, and we're going to close out.
No, I was just kind of on a kind of a little laughter moment here. You do a great impression of your mother. But then again, y'all sound just alike. So, Miles, if you're out there, when Tasha kicked in and did you, I thought that was really you that just kicked in on the phone line. But you know, like I told you guys, you guys sound just alike. And then when you decided to go on and get a little inflection on the voice, that made me really feel like that you were her.
Yeah, you know, she was telling me last night, and don't worry. And she, at one point, she said, stop watching it. And I was like, no, this stuff interests me, because, you know, I'm into the stock market, and I'm into how, you know, what we do in society impacts the stock market. And wow, amazingly, I teach a finance class this afternoon. So guess what we'll be talking about?
Right. But other than that, Tasha, I just wanted to say, you know, regardless of who you voted for, regardless of what your personal beliefs are on the election and the outcome, please do your due diligence to be polite and respectful to each other and not be pointing fingers. I know it's hard not to do, because there are those people who are going to be ignorant and do it regardless on either side. But we just have to come together. We have to really look out for the next American citizen as a human being, as we would hope they would do in return. And just love one another and pray and keep God in your hearts to know that He won't let anything go too wrong for us. And that's kind of the way it is, you know. So just stay prayed up, and just stay blessed as you can be, and just stay positive and look at the horizon for the betterment of everything that could happen to us from here forward.
Amen. And on that note, we out. We'll see y'all next Tuesday. Have a positive week. God bless you.